Veteran health journalist Mary Otto looks inside America's mouth, revealing unsettling truths about our unequal society. Her new book, Teeth, takes readers on a disturbing journey into America's silent epidemic of oral disease, exposing the hidden connections between both tooth decay and stunted job prospects, low educational achievement, social mobility, and the troubling state of our public health. Mary Otto is the oral health topic leader for the Association of Healthcare Journalists. She began writing about oral health at the Washington Post, where she worked for 8 years covering social issues, including healthcare and poverty. Again, the name of the new book is Teeth, the Story of Beauty, Inequality, and the Struggle for Oral Health in America. And we welcome Mary Otto to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Oh, thanks for inviting me. I'm grateful to be here.
Very nice to have you with us. How did you get on this beat initially? I assume it's out of some personal interest.
Well, yeah, I got interested in oral health, and it's actually a very sad story. Like you said, I was covering social issues at the Washington Post, and one day, it was almost exactly 10 years ago, I was standing at the hospital bedside of this boy who was, it turned out, dying of complications from untreated tooth decay. His name was Diamante Driver, and he was 12 years old. He was a Maryland child, and he was a Medicaid beneficiary in the state, and Medicaid kids have been chronically lacking in access to oral health care, preventive care, you know, and as well as, you know, restorations like fillings for teeth. And anyway, Diamante came home from school with a headache one day, and his grandma took him to the hospital, and doctors said he had a dental abscess, and they gave him medicine and sent him home, and he ended up getting much worse, and he ended up being rushed to a big hospital here in Washington where he had two brain surgeries. Doctors told his mother that bacteria from this dental abscess he had spread to his brain, and all this care that cost $250,000, it wasn't enough to save him. He died, and his story got a lot of attention. It you know, raised calls for reform, and efforts were actually made on a national and state and local level to get more care to Medicaid children, but still fewer than half get routine care, and they're part of a much larger problem I discovered on my journey to discover what happened and led to me writing this book.
You talk about this in the book, and I find it interesting, so I'd like to begin there, of this separation between dental health and our overall health. Why do you think that is the case? And even all of the research that we have that puts the two together that we seem, for whatever reason, to dismiss?
Yeah, I mean, tragedies like Diamante Driver's death are reminders to us that our mouths are connected to our bodies, but, you know, every time we eat or, you know, smile or speak, we kind of get feedback on that connection. And of course, it's kind of obvious, but yet the system we have for caring for our oral health and the rest of our bodies they're separate systems. And I found out that happened not too far from where Diamante lived and died, actually, in Baltimore, Maryland. And it dates back to 1840 and events that happened in Baltimore in that year. That was the year the first dental college in the world was opened. And the story of that founding of that dental college is kind of the creation story of American dentistry, and it's separate, you know, as a separate entity from the rest of the healthcare system. And the story, as it's told, was that the founders of the school were two, you know, early, more or less self-trained dentists, Horace Hayden and Chapin Harris. They felt like dentistry was worthy of a professional status and scientific study and training, you know, professional training. And they approached the physicians at the College of Medicine at the University of Maryland in Baltimore with the idea of adding a dental course to their medical instructions. And the physicians, as the story goes, rejected that idea. They said the subject of dentistry was of little consequence. You know, they kind of thought it as sort of a trade. But the event that's remembered in dental history as the historic rebuff, and of course it's kind of a symbolic event, but it's also continues to shape and define the relationships and the system that we have for caring for our teeth and kind of popular and professional thought about, you know, oral health. Dentists still drill and fill teeth, and physicians still look at our bodies from the tonsils south, you know, and researchers kind of work in separate worlds and, you know, looking at oral and physical other medical conditions, and our medical and dental records are kept separately. There's a real bridge, a divide that we have to bridge, you know, and looking at our oral health. And that can be a really hard bridge to cross, especially for people without the resources, you know, money, you know, private insurance, people living in rural areas where, you know, they have often a very difficult time finding a dental provider. And it ends up costing us a lot in suffering and other healthcare costs, too.
You are also here to tell us that when you look at data from the last, say, two decades, that there is an incredible rise of people going to the emergency room for some sort of dental oral hygiene crisis.
Mm-hmm.
What I assume these two stories go together. So why is that the case? And are we equipped to take care of those issues once that person arrives in the emergency room?
Well, what you just described is a really good example of a moment in time where we're reminded in urgent, you know, ways that our oral health and our overall health are connected. You know, over 1 million Americans a year go to emergency rooms with what are called non-traumatic dental problems. It's not like they were in a car accident or got hit by a baseball. They have a toothache or some other kind of dental problem that, you know, could have been prevented or treated at a dental office. So they show up at the emergency room often because dentists very seldom work in emergency rooms. They're treated, they're given a prescription for an antibiotic, maybe a painkiller or pain medicine, and told to go and see their dentist. But many of these people don't have regular dentists. And this problem, they don't get their underlying dental problem treated in the emergency room. And these visits cost the system more than $1 billion a year. And some patients like Diamante eventually, you know, die. Not thankfully, not many. Over 100 patients did die in emergency rooms during the three recent recession years, one study showed. You know, others are admitted at great cost to hospitals for life-threatening problems. But again, it's a signal to remind us that of this gap, you know, between oral health and overall health. You know, roughly a third of Americans face significant barriers just getting access to routine care for reasons of money or insurance or the fact that they live in areas that are don't have enough providers. So it's a crisis. Dr. David Satcher called it a silent epidemic of oral disease, and it's still kind of unfolding.
I only have you for another moment or so, but I'm curious as to what you see the answer to this being of looking at these differences in care being largely attributed to socioeconomics and race. So what do we do about that problem?
Well, a lot of experts are talking about just trying to get access to basic dental services more broadly distributed, getting more dental providers, not even necessarily dentists, but dental hygienists and other kinds of dental workers into our safety net clinics across the country, you know, getting dental hygienists and other dental workers into schools and nursing homes, you know, to help people get care who can't get themselves to dentists, just kind of spreading, finding new new ways to more broadly distribute care, and also raising awareness with people about oral hygiene and home health care, good nutrition, the kinds of things we can do ourselves, you know, to take care of our mouths and our overall health too.
Mary Otto's new book is Teeth, The Story of Beauty, Inequality, and the Struggle for Oral Health in America. The book is published by The New Press. Mary, thank you very much for spending time with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Oh, it was a great pleasure to be here with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.